Hey guys, it's Jay John of Asian Pop Radio. Thanks for coming to another podcast. If you like what you hear, make sure you subscribe to us on iTunes. Just search for Asian Pop Radio. Rate and review if you can. You can download our app free via the App Store on iOS and Android, so you can hear this show, the Jeanette and Jay John show, and Asia Wide Hits 24/7. Asia Wide Hits 24/7. This is Asian Pop Radio, and it's been a while since we've had someone in the studio face-to-face. Usually we're on Skype, but we'd like to introduce to you now, I nearly said Aussie, but you could put that in the mix as well, American Malaysian musician, amongst other things, Sasha Nicole. Hello.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
Great to have you in here. We actually added your song to our playlist, I think about 2 months ago or something.
Oh yeah. Wow.
And I've been
loving
it. Yeah. It's really good.
That's awesome.
But first, let's go back to the start. Can you tell us about your background and where you grew up?
Yep. So I actually grew up in the States. I moved to Melbourne when I was 17. Back and forth, I'm half Malaysian, so I was always there at least once a year.
Yep.
So you could call me Aussie American and Malaysian. But I've just been bouncing between the three all my life.
Yeah. Child of the world.
Yeah, world citizen.
So Malaysian mum's side, dad's
mom's
side?
Mum's Malaysian, mom? Yep. Dad's American.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. How did they meet?
My mom went to college there when she was 17 and then never left. Had me and
What did her fake say about her not leaving, not coming back?
Oh, you know Malaysians are like, no, what's wrong with you? Come back. But we went back eventually. So I went to school there when I was 12 for 2 years, international school.
Right.
Yeah. And then we ended up in Melbourne not long after that.
Just answered one of my questions later on. Watch me ask it again.
Yeah.
Okay. So you went back to when you were 12 and you were there for 2 years.
Yeah.
And then you made your way back to Brisbane.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, so we were in Brisbane first. So my little brother was actually born in Melbourne, and then we were only here for a couple months.
Okay.
Moved to Brisbane, was there
Too
for
cold.
A little while. Yeah, no, that was exactly why.
Really?
I'm from Florida. My mom's Malaysian, so it's summer all year round.
Yeah.
So
what
we were in Melbourne and went, we can't do this. So we went up to Brisbane, and then we're like, oh, but it's so boring. So we're like, I guess we have no choice. You have to deal with the cold.
I think Brisbane's like a little Melbourne with just better weather.
Yeah, and because we're city people, the city there was just too tiny. So we kind of could walk from one end to the other in 10 minutes. We're like, this is not happening.
So for the 2 years it's been in KL, how was the transition for you as a 12-year-old? I mean, you're very impressionable at those years and like you're trying to find yourself and make friends. Going from the US to KL, how was that transition?
Yeah, well, I mean, I've traveled all my life. So even like once my mom went back to Malaysia when I was about 2 or 3, I went with her. So I feel like I've been on a plane every couple months my whole life. So I think whenever I'm somewhere for longer than 6 months to a year, I'm like itchy. I'm like, I gotta go somewhere. I gotta do something. So if anything, I was really used to it.
So, I mean, I was going to ask you what the major differences were between growing up in the US and then your 2 years in KL. But I guess, I mean, so many differences. You're probably just used to things coming and going now, right?
Yeah. If anything, I'm more comfortable with that. Yeah. But I mean, being half Malaysian, I have a lot of family in Malaysia. So I have a lot of cousins, aunties and everything. And my best friend who I met when I was 12. Yeah. She helps me out, manages me now as well. And I met her then. So
Malaysians love their food.
Yes.
And so many of my Malaysian friends here, you can't have a conversation without them talking about
the
what they miss. And especially when it's getting close to Chinese New Year or the end of the year, and they start to crave the things they've been missing, and especially around those family occasions.
Yeah.
But if you've grown up in the US,
I miss both.
What do you miss?
That's what gets me, because like, sometimes I'm like, every couple of days I need my rice fix, or I get a little bit angry. Everyone's like, oh, you need to eat rice. And then a couple of days I'm like, I need a burger. I need some fries. So I get mixed up with both of them.
Yeah. Who's the cook at home?
I don't cook. Uber Eats all
Uber
the way. When that came out, I was like, hallelujah.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Yeah.
So where is home? Like, obviously, moving to Brisbane, Melbourne, the US, KL. Where's home for you?
And I'm based here in Melbourne at the moment. So I've been here since I was 17. So for me, Melbourne is definitely home. But I'm just about to make the transition. So I'm going back to KL this Thursday.
Wow.
And then I should be there for at least 3 to 6 months this time. So
fantastic.
To
be based in KL?
Yep. So I've got a place here, but I'm about to get rid of it. So I'm a little bit sad right now. I'm like, I can't believe I'm going to leave Melbourne, but this weather helps.
I
want to get out of here right now.
I was actually going to say you might get more bang for your buck if you're selling it, but probably not. Yeah. KL's expensive nowadays.
It is. Yeah. But I mean, if you're living in the Aussie dollar and you're there, you're balling.
That's something we all aspire to.
Yeah.
Okay, well, let's talk music-wise, entertainment-wise. When did you start performing?
So I've always performed my whole life. So I was always doing creative stuff. I was never really a book nerd or anything. Even though I'm half Asian, I always did bad in science and maths and stuff, but I was always dancing, cheerleading, singing choir.
My partner's from Malaysia, and he'll go with the, I'm not that kind of Asian.
Yeah, I'm not that kind of Asian. Like, I'm sorry, Mom, I disappointed you.
Surely you at least played the piano, right?
Oh, a little bit. Halfway but even there. Then, yeah, I kind of had to. I had to do something like that. But yeah, so I was always doing something in the creative arts here and there. And then I started gigging little bits, just as doing covers and stuff. And then I was working retail here for the past couple of years. And then I started doing covers on Instagram. And then that's how this whole Malaysian thing sort of started. So I'm, lucky because of Instagram and social media.
So you never
media.
Know where you're going to start, end up when you get started. Mm-hmm. You just got to do it, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Just give it a go.
Did we avoid the fact that your presser tells me that you performed alongside Barney, the dinosaur?
Yes, I was when I was
that
young in Arkansas.
That's got to be a career highlight.
Yeah. I was actually trying to Google a photo because my mom's like, I can't find the tape anywhere. Like, old school, it's on a tape. Like, so that was the very first on-air thing I ever did.
Wow.
Back when I was, I think, 4 years old.
See, my claim to fame was that I was on a kid's show for one episode called Liftoff, which was an Aussie production.
Yep. And was it like High Five or something?
Kind of along those lines. It had like this weird dummy that had no face and didn't talk, and it kind of like spun its head in a weird way.
That's
like,
kind of creepy.
Yeah, it was a really creepy kind of, like you look back at 80s, 90s like stuff. Like, it looked cool then,
weird.
But just creepy in hindsight.
It's like, I mean, I grew up on like Teletubbies and stuff, but if you look at it now, you're
they're all creepy.
What were
they're
they
all
doing?
Creepy clowns. And So do you think you've got a career highlight so far, or is it what's happening right now?
Oh, it's all such a blur because it's happening so quick, but definitely highlight is that, I mean, my first single, I got Ultimate on it. I mean, I've been watching him since I was young. Like, I used to go clubbing a lot when I was 20, 21 in Malaysia with my girlfriends. And
which clubs were you going to?
Oh, Lust. That was our spot. Yep. Lust. All the Chunkat sort of places. Yeah. I mean, they weren't really that great of places, but
they're booming now.
Yeah, they are.
I always get, is it Zouk or Zouk? Zouk.
Yeah. Wow. And then Zouk's
Zouk
move.
In Malaysia,
the old Zouk
Singapore,
is where we went.
Like, God, all people do is talk about Zouk all the time.
Yeah. And it doesn't matter how old you are or anything. Even my uncle's like, oh, we're hitting up Zouk this week. I'm like, Uncle, you are 65. Like, are you serious? Like, they don't stop in Malaysia.
No, they don't. Ultimate himself obviously has worked with so many amazing people. Z, Goldfish and Blink, Joe Flizzo.
Yeah.
I mean,
a lot of the Cartel Boys.
Without a doubt, one of my favorite tracks was In the House with Z and Goldfish and Ultimate. And it's really kind of got me interested in the Malaysian pop scene as well. Like,
It's really boomed. I mean, when I used to go out back then, I felt like that's probably why I liked Ultimate so much, because there wasn't many of them. There was only like a good 3 or 4 rappers that were really trying, and Malaysia was still in the EDM house scene, and now they're finally catching up. That's a good time for me now to sort of pop in and go, all right, let's bring the R&B to Malaysia.
Yeah. Wave your Malaysian flag.
Yeah, everyone's doing the Kanye thing, so
actually, it's quite funny because, like, I think over the last 5 years or something, I think the first time I spoke to Z about the local scene over there, she was like, oh, you know, I'm still going to Europe a lot because everyone in Europe loves what I'm doing. And KL, you know, Malaysians, they don't get me yet.
Not yet.
It's a bit too outrageous.
Yeah.
But then over the years, she's been like, oh, everyone's digging me, KL. Yeah. I don't need to go anywhere. Like,
I mean, that's Malaysia. Like, it takes us a bit of time to sort of pick up on what's happening, what the trend is. But now it's definitely a good time for it.
What's he like to work with?
Oh, he's amazing. Chill. Like, and he's quick too. I like that. Like, he's straight business. Let's do this. Let's get it done. Because he's so busy.
Yeah.
Like, he's, he just released a track, Umboy, and that went nuts. So I'm even surprised that he had the time to do mine. But we sent him the single within 2 days. He finished his verses and went, I'm done. We were like, oh my God, like, he's
so cool.
On point. Like,
given that you're going back for 3 or 6 months, it's a bit of a shame because that'll kind of cover off Merdeka Day when, you know, Melbourne, we do actually have quite a lot of Merdeka Day events.
There's a DJ called DJ Biggie. I actually saw him a couple of years ago when he did something here, because I saw him on Instagram, or it might have even been Facebook at that time, but saw him here and I was like, I'm coming. Like, I didn't even know there was a big Malaysian scene here.
And like, sometimes there's four or five different competing events that all sell out. It's like, wow.
Yeah, no, it was a ticketed thing.
They got Miss Nina a couple years ago.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, my friend was her choreographer and they were here.
Oh,
and I
really?
Was like, you guys are coming to Melbourne? Like, where are you even performing? And they're like, what? It's packed out. It's sold out. We can't even get you a ticket. Yeah. I was like, what?
what you been waiting for? Bad Miss Nina pun.
Yeah.
She's a very interesting person. I don't think she's in the music industry at all anymore.
It's sort of what happens. You get older, your priorities change. Mm. And, you know, the thing in Malaysia is once you hit the music scene, they tend to like to do a lot of the acting and stuff after a while.
She's got into the fashion and all that kind of stuff.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
When did you first try your luck at songwriting?
Oh, I always used to here and there, but I just never thought it was like good enough.
Yeah.
Like, so it's always my own thing, like secretly by myself. And I'd send them to my mom here, and then she'd be like, this is amazing. I'm like, yeah, well, you have to say that, don't you? Like, so I never really trusted if it was really that good or not. Yeah.
It's kind of like when I was a kid and I used to make fake radio stations, radio shows, and put it on the cassette and make mom and dad listen to it on the radio. And you could see them trying.
Yeah.
Just trying to enjoy it.
Yeah. And you're like, oh, I just don't know if you're really like, if this is good or you're just telling me it's good. I don't want to embarrass myself here, guys.
So what was the moment where you decided, actually, maybe I've got something here. Maybe this is, I'm onto something.
Well, they kind of pushed me into it. I mean, when I was there in August, September last year, we did the single, you know, we spent the day in the studio, we got Ultimate into it. And then the people that were sort of joining in Paranormal, who now manages me, you know, they've just been so persistent and so encouraging that I'm like, are you sure I could do it? Are you sure? And everyone's like, of course, like, you have no choice. We've got you a gig. Yeah. You have no choice. You're doing this video. Like, yeah.
Great. So, they really believe in you.
Boost. Yeah.
Yeah. And you're getting some really good tips and guidance.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they've got some good artists. Obviously, Anonymous Mistake that we've interviewed a few times. Yeah. Darren's great. They've got great, good few.
Like, so lucky
really,
that he's
really
been
a lot of talent
out.
There.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really. Like, I went to his album launch in Malaysia, 2 weeks ago? And like the videos they've been doing, and it's amazing.
Like 13 videos that they launched in one day. Who does that?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, he works overtime. I don't think
it's
he sleeps.
Huge.
He must love his coffee.
He's been running around with me the past couple weeks in Malaysia, and just the experience and knowledge that he's got, and he's helping me out. Like, it's amazing. Yeah.
He's a good
Super
man.
Lucky.
Yeah, he'd be great for guidance. Mm. So let's talk your new track. So forgive me if I'm not pronouncing it right. Salama Lamanya. Salama. Yep. Oh, Salama, my God, you idiot. Wake up. How many times have I gone to Malaysia?
That's okay. Ryan on Hits FM there said it wrong too. And he's like, I live here. I should know how to say this.
Forever, right?
Yes, forever and ever. Yeah.
How did it come about? And what's the story behind it?
So it was written by Brian B. He works for Tune Studios and he does the songs for DFAM. So they produce Supergirls and that went number one there and everything. So he actually wrote it. So he told me we need to do something cute, a little bit more about a love story, but something that, is a little bit more different to the normal, like, oh, I love you, you love me back. Like, this is about a bit of a game. There's some game playing in there.
Well,
early days.
Yeah,
like dating's hard. So he kind of took my dating advice and how hard it is being single, and then he put it into a song for me.
Fantastic. Mm. Is there pressure there for you? I mean, you know, you are going to go back to Malaysia. You're going to really try and dabble in it, get things happening there.
Yeah.
The local market's obviously number one.
Yes. Yeah.
Is there pressure for you to do, you know, obviously, and like people like Ms. Nina have done, the English tracks and the Bahasa tracks?
Yeah.
Or
Well, that's kind of what we did on this track, was to just incorporate both. Like, I'm more of an R&B sassy type of vibe. I like hip hop.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I wanted to come back to Malaysia and go, like, I am Malaysian at heart. Like, I love Siti Nurhaliza, Sarah, Rosa. Like, I have their CD. So I love Malay music as well. So I wanted to do a mix between both and try and see if we can get the Malay crowd into the hip hop and R&B stuff.
Yeah, which doesn't happen all that much. Like, they really love their ballads. And
Exactly. And their slow stuff and their really hard love songs. So this was an interesting one to have a bit of a flirty love song. But Ultimate was really great on it. Like, he brought the rapping into it, and then he rapped in Bahasa and in English. So he hasn't done that before either, which was pretty cool.
I'm sure people like Enough Fly will love it.
Yeah.
But, you know, a little bit hard to get something with that Bahasa in on Hits, for example, right? Unless it's out of the Met 10.
So we did the Met 10. But I mean, it's been really well received on the Malay stuff. So I've done radio stuff for Manis FM, which is more for like the East Coast.
Yep.
And that's very strong Malay crowd, and they like it. Far, so good.
Yeah.
So Era's picking it up as well, and that's the only Malay radio station. Yeah. So I think we did well with mixing both.
I think that's a good thing about Malaysia, isn't it? Because some countries, like, they're really particular about their language and they're very protective about the language.
Protective.
And don't get me wrong, they are in Malaysia with Bahasa as well.
Yeah.
But they're open to having a mix of languages, with other countries would just shut it down.
They would. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And like, I feel like that's why this time is like a really good time for me, just because they're embracing that as much as I am Malaysian, I am mixed. So I've got the other culture that I've kind of like got to bring and incorporate into my own stuff. And it's been well received.
So I was going to ask you about your audience. So obviously, you know, you've got a good chunk of followers in Malaysia, specifically with, you know, around your music.
Yeah.
Do you get stopped on the street in Bourke Street or?
Well, I actually got stopped for the very first time here at Queen Vic Market on Sunday. I went with my mom because we were going to pick up little like koala gifts and stuff for all my nieces and nephews for Hari Raya. So we were in there buying Ugg boots. And then as we walk in, he goes, "You look very familiar." And he's a Malaysian guy. And I was like, okay, yeah, sure.
Go on.
And he's like, "Did you do a song with Ultimate? Are you Shasha?" Like, they say my name's Shasha. And I was like, "You're kidding." My mom just starts laughing and
hilarious.
She's like taking videos. And I'm like, I'm going to cry. Like, this is crazy. Yeah.
Oh, that's so good.
So it was like like it's the biggest feeling, surreal moment ever it, that I was like, wow. Like,
Do you feel shocked when people do that? Like, yeah. Some say take
oh,
it
I'm
like,
not used to it.
Because you don't always get to interact with people that follow you, and then all of it, and you never hear from them. And then all of a sudden,
most
someone
of
will
it's
say.
It's just online. So sometimes you think, is it fake? Is it just people just liking for the sake of it? Yeah. But yeah, and I've had a lot of people, like a lot of Malaysian girls and stuff on Instagram sending me videos, reposting it, and singing to it in the car. And it's just so cute. It's sweet. I like it.
It's really good.
Yeah.
Obviously, not just songwriting, not just singing, but you're also a dancer, model, makeup artist. Like, how do you get time to sing?
Yeah. Well, that's where this all started, because I was doing modeling, like influencing on Instagram. So I started building up my followers. I was just doing stuff for local boutiques here because I'm pretty short, but I seem to know how to fake it on like internet, on social media. And like, I like
I
the
just
fact
assumed
that,
I was too tall.
Yeah. So I like the fact that Instagram sort of helped out a lot of girls that look different.
Yeah.
It's not the usual. I mean, give a couple of years ago, you had to be 6 foot. You had to be the stock standard, you know, size 00.
Oh, yeah. Like you look like, you know, and I've been always very aware of stuff like that. But like over the years, like even just watching like Woolworths commercials where white, you know.
Exactly.
And it's only been the last few years where like all of a sudden
they want
someone
difference.
Else,
like they're appreciating
which is good.
Something different. Yeah. So I just thought I'd jump on that bandwagon, started doing a modeling here and there, did covers just for fun. And then like 2 days later, I delete it because I'm like, what am I trying to do? Stop this. Like,
what
focus.
One of my biggest regrets is, and I say that tongue in cheek, but I usually catch up with Andy True, who is part of SBS Pop Asia. Mm-hmm. And I said to him a couple years ago, like, I swear 2 years ago, I said to him, you really need to milk this, man. I said, like, you've obviously got the, you know, you're the Aussie, you're the Asian guy. And he's like, well, I don't know what you mean.
Aussie.
I said, like, people want that. It's coming in advertising more. You're going to be able to milk that. And he's like, oh, okay. Now he's on everything.
Yeah. I go and you're to, like, what I did I tell you?
I seriously go to Google. I type Asian pop star and Andy
came
up. But I'm like, come on.
I knew it.
I should have just like taken the opportunity to myself somehow.
I should have managed you and banked in on this. Like,
I know. Oh, God.
Yeah.
All right. Who else would you like to collaborate with? Like, obviously, the world's your oyster. You're going there for six months. Yeah.
I mean, I'd love to, like, obviously bank in on a lot of these Malaysian artists. Like, next up, my big goal is Sona One. So I hope he's listening. He's the next. Who else? Is there a few girls in Malaysia that I'd love to collab with? But in Paranormal, I've already worked with an actress called Killa Fairy. She's amazing. D-Fam. So I've done with Sophia Alvin Chong. He's been great. Raja Shahiran. So I'm really lucky that I'm collaborating with already really established artists.
Yeah.
So next is a few more hip hoppers, maybe Joe Fizzo and all the Cartel Boys. Hey, hint, hint. But yeah, I mean, maybe hopefully in the States one day. That'd be cool.
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
You may be the first Malaysian to ever not mention Yuna in a conversation.
Yeah. Oh, actually, I love her. We call it the Yuna bun. So what she wears, I've been trying to rock this scarf thing and I'm like, I just can't pull off this Yuna bun at all. Yeah. Like, yeah. So
she's
once I can
amazing.
Pull it off, then I'll join her.
Yeah. And so I tell you what, so many Malaysians just absolutely adore her for good reason. What's next? Obviously moving there, but like what will you be working on once you hit the ground?
Yep. So I'm about to do another single with Curly. He's a producer in Malaysia. Got a few other songs coming out.
He just remixed one of An Honest Mistake
songs.
He
did. Yeah. So I'm lucky enough that Darren put me on to him. So Darren's been great. Yeah. So he's put me on to track with him. We just finished recording it the last day I was in Malaysia. So that's in the works at the moment. There's also a group called K-Town Klang.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. So I've done two tracks for Roshan. He's one of the members in that group. So he's got an album coming out and I've done two tracks with him.
Wow.
So that's coming out and then hopefully more music.
And world domination.
Yes. And then hopefully within a year I might have an album. Fingers crossed. Yeah.
Oh, looking forward
to
that.
I'm just rolling with it at the moment. Yeah.
Brilliant. All right. Mm-hmm. How do we find out more about you? How can we support you by purchasing the track and the likes?
Yeah. So it's all on iTunes, Spotify. I mean, if you just Instagram my name, Sasha Nicole, and it's Nicole with an H. Everyone always misspells it. Find me on Instagram, if not Paranormal. They have all my videos up. So I've got a few covers up there. We've got the Despacito song coming out next week, which is a Malaysian cover.
Fantastic.
So instead of Spanish, it's going to be in Bahasa. So hopefully they like that. Yeah.
Good. That'll go viral.
Yeah. I hope so.
Well, Sasha, thank you so much for coming. Oh, Sasha.
Thank you. Yeah,
however
Sasha.
You like to say it. Thank you so much for coming into Asian Pop Radio today. You're a great talent and we just really look forward to seeing what happens next.
Thanks for having me. It's been awesome coming to Melbourne and doing this.
If you like what you heard there, guys, make sure you subscribe to us on iTunes. We would really appreciate if you could do that so you don't miss any future episodes. And please rate and review us. That would be immensely helpful. Don't forget, if you want to hear our show in full, which happens at 7 p.m. Australian Eastern Daylight Savings Time, Monday to Friday, tune into the Jeanette and Jay John show via our website at asianpopradio.com or download our app. It's free via the App Store on iOS and Android.